weeks, I introduced a bit about our eight ministries earlier, and they are in the bulletin for you to look at, and we do a lot. And when I look around, you know, I think we do a lot with the people that we have here. Some of it's up front, some of it you see a lot of it, or some of it's behind the scenes and makes other things happen, but it's there. In fact, when I was chatting with Dennis about what was finance going to put out, and Ian was kind of, what kind of symbols does finance put out? Dollar bills? And I said, no, you guys have to be a bit more creative. You're the glue in many ways. How many other places where people can say, we'd like to do this or that, but we need the funds up front to get it going and we'll pay you back? And that's what finance does. Or offers a bank account or a way to deposit money so that we can do things and create non-profit charity banks and ways of giving. So sometimes the things are in the background, but if they weren't there, you would notice that they are absence. Last week, we heard about the power and gift of giving from the basis of a loving heart. Not grudgingly from the basis of guilt, but because we choose to give willingly. Or as the Apostle Paul said, from a cheerful heart. Today, the Spirit is drawing us into an even more challenging story. A story about the consequences of not expressing love. When you heard the scriptures, you saw that there is nothing soft about the parable of the sheep and the goats. It's piercing. It's Jesus leaning close to us and staring into the whites of our eyes with a look that runs all the way down to the soles of our feet. Whatever you did for the least of these, the members of my family, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the unclothed, the ill, the imprisoned, you did to me. Or as Eugene Peterson paraphrases in The Message, which is a version of the Bible, whenever you did one of these things to someone, overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Chilling. It doesn't sound like we're off to a typical United Church sermon, does it? Sounds a bit more like hellfire and damnation. And I just as a little sidetrack, my father, who grew up in a rather unusual combination of United Church and Pentecostal, often felt that the United Church ministers didn't do enough of thumping the pulpit and preaching hellfire and damnation. But it doesn't look good to me, good news to me either, because for a different reason, because I wonder whether Jesus would consider me a goat or a sheep on certain days. To be honest, most days I cover a range between goat, sheep. In fact, I can go from goat to sheep in an hour. Dennis and I left our favorite stop before we get to church on Sunday morning at McDonald's for our caffeine fix. And when we were coming out, and you're driving out and we were heading up this way, there was a sign on the side of the road, a backpack, and a person bent over. I didn't see the person's face, and the sign said, help a homeless person, basically. And we kept on going. We didn't stop, but we did, all the way to church, talk about why was that person sitting there? And did we see a lot of that when we were younger? And all that kind of talk that you have. What's happening kind of talk, and why? Good talk, but also a talk that needs to push us in the direction of interacting. Entire nations can go from being goats to sheep. In fact, from the very beginning, Matthew's Jesus is talking about how all the nations will be gathered before him, and then he will separate them into sheep or goats. And we don't know if he's, when he says all nations, if he's talking about the Jewish people, the Christians and pagans, but there is a sense of collective judgment based on collective sin and systemic wrong. Think about the marginalized groups in Jesus' time, the hungry, the thirsty, the outcast, the ill, the unclothed, and the imprisoned. Well, we stand here today, and these groups are still in need. We're born into a kind of goat world. I bet you're waiting for the good news. Well, me too, actually. If there is a glimmer of hope in this passage, it is that we are born also into a kind of sheep world. A world where everyday people like you and I and committed communities like Knox and those that care are and can are making a difference. A world where collectively we can be the church, we can be the followers and disciples of Christ. The sheep that the scripture says have an intimate relationship with Jesus so that he knows us by name and our hearts. We have the power to choose who we are going to follow, who we are going to align ourselves with, the sheep or the goats. We have the power to choose who we want to be. Culturally, Matthew's gospel isn't saying anything new. In the ancient Near East, there were stories already circulating about how there would be a final judgment day based on acts of mercy. The book of Matthew, though, raises the bar substantially. It's explicit. Matthew's Jesus calls us to radical discipleship, a love that goes above and beyond. The least is indisputable. It is the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the unclothed, the ill, the refugee, the imprisoned. Think about it. Caring for sick people back in the time of Jesus puts you at risk of infection. Prisons were filthy. Sin was thought to be transmitted in part by keeping company with the wrong people. Discipleship was risky. And it still is. It's never easy to be a follower of Christ. It's demanding, it's uncomfortable, it's squirmy. It's not easy. And yet, that is our Christian calling. It is the missional call of our church to care for the least, as though Jesus' life hangs in the balance. Because, folks, it does. Week in and week out, here at Knox, we try our best to follow Jesus. We have some symbols here of our 8 ministries. Our bulletin is full of them. We have ways to follow. We give as Ian shows in the basket, time, talent, and money. We give independently. We live in this community. We reach out in many, many ways. And I believe that when we reach out collectively, I believe we are responding to God's call for love. When we come together in worship, when we offer our service, when we care for one another, care for our neighbor, our community, our world. We gather at the feet of God's love. When we uphold justice, find our tongue and sign petitions or speak out, even if it's extremely uncomfortable, we support others. And when we do that, we are led to abundant fields where we ourselves, in turn, are fed. It's not just a one-way street. We are fed back when we give. Proverbs 18:16 says, "A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great." And that proverb is so true. Through all of our giving and generosity, Jesus tends us. Our congregation has benefited in so many ways by being generous to others. For example, perhaps for you, there may be a particular outreach that has helped you grow beyond your stereotypes. Affirm, mental health, rainbows, food bank, healing hands, youth, refugees, street people. Or perhaps a particular ministry has helped you contribute to the cohesiveness of the community. Or perhaps a project has inspired our church to rise to our best. I'm sure you have your own stories, your own moments where you think, "I did that. I helped out. We did that. We did it together, and we couldn't have done it alone." I believe the Spirit of Jesus draws us into our own sacred stories. The stories that both inspire and challenge us. I believe Jesus is drawing us into this story today. I believe that the Spirit of Jesus has held our hand through this story and is now leading us by the hand out through the pages of the story into the chapters of our life. Imagine. Imagine Jesus leading you personally. Imagine him taking you out of this church and back into the streets. To the street of your home. The street of your workplace or your neighborhood. Or the street that runs through the heart of your relationships. There is someone on a road somewhere in your life waiting for your thanksgiving, your gratitude to overflow in love. Imagine for a moment who that might be. Who is that someone that Jesus is drawing your heart to? Who is hungry in the streets of your life? Not just hungry for food, but hungry for love. who is naked. Not only lacking clothes, but deeply vulnerable. Who is the stranger? The outcast. Who is lonely? Who doesn't fit in? Who is sick? Sick in their body, their mind, their spirit. Who is in prison? A literal prison or a thought prison? A shame prison? A grief prison? Who is Jesus leading you to? Right now, in this moment, when Jesus is calling you to draw nearer, you have the power to choose who you want to be. And that, folks, may be the hardest decision in your life. To risk your hearts, to risk your security, your comfort zone, to reach out. We as a congregation have the power to choose who we are going to be together, to choose how we are going to participate in God's world. I think since Jennifer has been here, she's moved us as a congregation into looking at ministries that all of them focus us to look out. Come here to be nurtured, to look out. That's our purpose as disciples of Christ. Not just to nurture ourselves, but to take it out. Having said all that, I don't think Jesus is any more interested in separating sheep and goats than I am in separating my laundry. What he is really interested in is motivating us to contribute to the building of God's world, a world of love, generosity, compassion, shalom. The world that the church prays for, thy kingdom come. The world that we strive to be part of. And the good news today is that Jesus leads us by the hand and heart individually and collectively to experience him in the least and the lost. When we are there on the road, when the least are in front of us, we always have a choice. We can choose who we want to be. Let us be strengthened in our mission as we recommit ourselves to be the church. Please join your voice with mine as we recite the creed together. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.